This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 860. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 860. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Shameless Moms. Happy Monday. I'm recording this on a day where there is not a cloud in the sky, and it's also falling after a sequence of days where there's been not a cloud in the sky. So it's like the great spring fake out. And I think that other places around the country, maybe around the world, are experiencing this as we get into this time of year where it seems like spring is here. But if you live in a place like Seattle, it's a total fake out. Like, it's going to be really sunny for a few days, and then it'll pour rain for like two or three more months. So as I'm recording today, it is sunny and gorgeous, and oh my goodness, it feels so lovely to have spring weather. And I'm definitely feeling that in my energy as I've moved through the last few days. So it just feels really good coming out of the dark, cold, damp winter days. Today, I want to talk about what is stopping you from saying yes. And this is one of those things that I woke up in the middle of the night, not in the middle of the night. I woke up this morning, but early before my alarm. And I was thinking through different things to talk about on the podcast. And this is where like so many of my good ideas come from. Something will pop in my head, and it's in that like dream space when you're like between awake and asleep. But then if I don't capture it in that moment, it will go away forever. And I'll be like, I remember I had a really good idea about a podcast, and I had like a title, and I had all the things I was going to say in my head, and now it's gone, and then I'm really mad. So I got up shortly after, like 10 minutes later. I laid there in bed for like 10 minutes, just repeating the thing over and over, repeating like, this is what I want it to be about, and these are the things I want to talk about. And then I got up and immediately opened my notes app and was like, okay, like get the notes on there before your brain loses it. So luckily, I didn't lose it, and that's how today's episode came to be. But what I am excited about talking about today is what is stopping you from saying yes, and also just thinking through, where do we go when we're mentally and emotionally when we're trying to decide between saying yes and no? And where do we train ourselves to go when we have something come to mind and we're like, I'm kind of curious about that, or what would that be like? But I'm scared to try it, or I'm scared to say yes. So we're going to talk about that today. And I want to start with an opportunity that I had a number of years ago. So I was in a business networking group when I still had my gym, I had my fitness business. And or actually it was before I actually had the gym. So when I first joined this business networking group, I was working in someone else's gym as a personal trainer. And I was teaching group exercise classes actually at a two different small gym studio spaces, doing a lot of one-on-one personal training and then teaching group exercise. And I don't think I had started running like bigger group programs and stuff, which I eventually later did, where I'd run like a 6-week challenge or an 8-week challenge to get like a bunch of new people in and like track people through the challenge, which was always really fun and exciting and really awesome for community building. I don't think I was doing that just yet though, because I didn't see all the ways I was capable of leading. And so I was still a little bit limited in terms of what I saw as possible for myself. So I'm in this networking group and I'd been in for a while, probably a year or so. And during that time, I became one of the top referral givers in the group. And what that meant was every week in this networking, so we met every single week at like, I think 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning or something. It was like very painful and early. And every week we would meet and we would track how many referrals we had passed between each other over the course of the last week. So there was like, I don't know, 30 or 40 people in the group, and we all had different businesses. So we were all non-competitive. So there was like an insurance person and a real estate person and a chiropractor and a hair person and me, a personal trainer and a therapist and like a painter. I mean, like all of these people from all different kinds of fields and professions and industries, but we were all business owners, and we would give each other referrals throughout the week. And then we would report the referrals at the end, at the next meeting. And so I would come in and be like, okay, like this week I referred someone to this person to like, you know, go buy a gift at their gift shop. And I referred someone to this person, the mortgage broker, because they said they wanted to like refinance their house. And I referred someone over here to the therapist because in their personal training session, they were talking about something that's like where therapy could really help them. And so every week I would do this and everyone else would do it. And after my first year, so I was one of the top referral givers in the group, because when you're a personal trainer and you talk to people all day long, every single day, it becomes pretty easy for you to make referrals and refer people to businesses that you know, like, and trust, of course. So I was like always being very legit when I passed referrals to like, I'm only giving people referrals to people that I believe in. And there was definitely people in the group that I did not give referrals to because I had had negative experiences with them. So I was doing this in a really ethical way. But what happened at the end of that year was that I got asked to be on the leadership team. And the position that they wanted me to take was, and I don't remember the name of the role, but there was two or three of us in this little subcommittee. And our job was going to be to basically onboard new members. So we were onboarding new members, we were checking references, we were like interviewing them, we were helping them get set up, we were giving them peer mentors in the group, all these kinds of things. And I initially thought, well, I don't know how to do, like, I don't know how to check references. I've never done that before. This was way before I'd ever hired any of my own trainers or anyone to work for me. So I thought, well, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to onboard someone. These were all things I've never done. Like, I don't work in HR. I don't know. And I remember thinking, like, this seems like a really big deal. And I said yes, because the other two people who were going to do it with me, I was like, okay, like they seem smart. Maybe they can show me what to do. And you all would not recognize this version of Sarah, because I was very like, I don't know, this seems like really overwhelming and scary, and I might really fail and drop the ball. And like, I don't know how to talk to people in that way. And this was really, really before I had started owning being a leader, and that like leadership is a really natural fit for me. And I was very nervous about letting people down, and like either letting down the current members of the group or having new people come in and then like me not guiding them and onboarding them in a way that was supportive enough for them to have a really great experience in the group. So this felt like a lot of pressure. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS. That's airdoctorpro.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4, yes, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. And their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing. And they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing, I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my list listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code SHAMELESS at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code SHAMELESS, SHAMELESS, aquatrue.com, code SHAMELESS. And as you're hearing me talk, you're probably like, it sounds like you're making a really big deal out of something that was not that big of a deal. And you would be right, because that was definitely my gift for many, many years, actually decades of my life. And so I was making this a really big deal, like I'm going to totally fail and everyone's going to be mad at me and I'm going to do a bad job. So it almost prevented me from saying yes, but I ended up saying yes to this role because there was these other two people doing a similar job, doing the same thing. And I was like, okay, if I can do it with them, like I think I can figure it out. I'm willing to give it a try. So I said yes. And I ended up staying in that role for, I think, like 3 years. And I really loved that role. It was a lot of fun. And I learned, like, it's not that hard to check references and it's not that hard to like go through a templated interview process with someone. And it's not that hard to get up in front of a group and give like a committee report every week and say what's going on. All these things that I thought were going to be really hard or that I wasn't suited for or that I just didn't know how to do, I was totally able to pick up and figure out quickly and easily, especially in a totally supportive group environment. Like, it was just not that big of a deal. So when you think about saying yes, I want you to think about, what do you think of in those moments where you have an opportunity to do something that maybe gives you the opportunity to grow in a certain way or up level in a certain way? And is your default like, no, I'm not ready. No, I'm not worthy. Oh, I need to wait till I'm more ready by doing X, Y, and Z first. Do you automatically talk yourself out of those opportunities? Because I will say that while that opportunity seemed small and kind of insignificant, as I'm sharing it here, it was a big opportunity for me at the time, and it definitely felt uncomfortable, and I definitely did not feel ready, capable, or qualified, but I did it anyways. And it was in taking on little roles like that in this small business networking group that I really started to see my ability and capability as a leader in a very different way. I'd spent a lot of time in that first year of the group thinking like, well, I'm the new person and everyone else knows better than me. And which is like always my assumption when I go into it. Still, when I go into like a new situation with people I don't know, I'm always like, they all know more than me. I'm always like, I'm just going to be quiet. And as you all know, I'm not a quiet person, but I'm like, I'm just going to be really quiet right now because I don't know, like, I don't know what's going on. And they all know way more than me. So in that first year, I really let myself feel small, be small, play small in that group. And then when I started stepping into opportunities where I had the chance to step up and take up space and be a leader and all these different things, I started seeing like oh, I'm actually fairly good at this. And it's kind of fun. And it actually even opened doors for me to build relationships with a lot of people in that group on a totally different level. And some of those relationships became super solid friendships that like really supported me in my career in that time, and people that I've kept in touch with even still to this day. There's actually a woman that I run into from time to time over in another part of town. She lives in the same area that one of my best friends lives. And every once in a while I run into her when I'm over there. And it's always like this joyous reunion because we experienced this thing together, like, oh gosh, it would have been like 10 years ago. And we were there together and we grew together and we outgrew our careers in that space together. We're in new careers now. And it's really, really cool when you have those connections and you build relationships over time, and then like they can still hold meaning later in your life. And so being able to say yes in that space was really, while I couldn't see it as a stepping stone at the time, really became a stepping stone for me to step into leadership in a lot of new ways. And I want you to think about, what are the ways that you could be saying yes in your life in different ways so that you could be poising yourself for opportunities that you're totally qualified for, but maybe you're not giving yourself credit in terms of your qualifications. Maybe you're not giving yourself credit in terms of your readiness. We're really good at thinking that we're not ready for things because we think that we have to have all these things done in order before we're ready for something. And we think that we have to be like, we have to have all the prereqs done, right? And the prereqs are always like really subjective, and like who decides who the prereqs are except for us in our heads. And when we get into our perfectionistic mindsets, we're like, oh, I haven't done all the right things yet, so I'm not ready for that thing. The truth is we're often ready way before we think we're ready. And if we wait till we're ready, oh my gosh, we might never get started because we can always find more reasons to not, like why we're not ready. And this goes back to the research around when men and women apply for jobs, how many of the criteria men typically make before they will let themselves qualify for a job versus women. And so I believe the statistic is something around the ballpark of like men will look at a job or a job opportunity and they'll be like, oh, okay, like I meet 60% of that criteria. It's like 60 or 70%. And so they'll go ahead and apply. They're like, okay, like I meet enough. I could probably figure it out. Women will wait until they will look at the same job description and they will not apply unless they can meet like 90 to 95% of the job criteria. Because they'll look at it and they'll be like, well, I don't have that. And I don't have that. And I don't have that. I don't have those three things. Never mind like the 18 things that they do have. They're like, yeah, but I don't have those three things. So I'm not ready yet. The guy's like, I don't know. I have like 15 things and not those four things or those five things, but like, whatever, like I'm good. So women tend to overestimate what we need to be ready and also underestimate our ability to go into a space, figure it out, and even figure it out with grace, like to gracefully go in and be fumbly. And that's a part of our humanity that we don't give ourselves space to play with, to go in and say like, I'm here learning and I'm just going to be fumbly for a while. And please give me like, let me know if I miss the mark. Let me know if I get it wrong. I'm going to take some extra time to figure it out, but I'm open to feedback. I would love support. Like just permission to be fumbly and grace, giving ourselves grace to do things super imperfectly when we start out. Instead, what we do is we go into places and we're really hard on ourselves and we kill ourselves trying to make it perfect and trying to overdo and overproduce and overprove ourselves in order to show that we're worthy and qualified and capable. When the reality is you can just say yes in a lot of cases and figure it out as you go, even if you are doing that in a fumbly kind of a way. So when we think about what's stopping us from saying yes, I broke this down into three different categories. So the first thing that can stop us from saying yes is our thoughts. So we've just talked about a lot of those thoughts. We think I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not ready yet, or someone else is more qualified. I'm not qualified enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not capable. And we also, with this train of thought, we also often think of other people who are the better fit than us. So we'll think, oh, and especially like in a work environment, like I'm not ready for this because all these other people seem to be a more natural fit or seem to be more poised for it. So I'm assuming they're going to go for this opportunity. So I shouldn't go for it. Like, I don't want to compete with these people who I think maybe possibly might be more qualified, even though you don't know for sure if they're going to go for the thing. So we do this a lot where it's not only our own negative thoughts about ourselves in terms of our own like worth and capability, but then we also find this proof that like there's other people who deserve it more or who are more ready or more capable. And we leave the playing field wide open for them because we don't put ourselves in that space. So that's the first part, is our thoughts. The second part is our emotions and our feelings that often come from those thoughts. And so we might feel a lot of discomfort. And I don't know a lot of people who are like, yes, like, where's the discomfort? I want to go that direction. Most of us are like, no, thanks. Like, I'd rather just stay where it's, you know, mildly sunny and warm all the time rather than it getting like too hot or too cold, right? So we don't want to get uncomfortable. We sit in this place where we would rather have comfort be the default, even if it means getting less than we want or deserve, because the discomfort of failing or the discomfort of having to figure it out and, you know, not getting it quite right feels way too scary. So that leads to fear. So we have fear. We have fear of failure. We also have fear of uncertainty or fear of the unknown, where we're like, well, you know, the thing I have now, it's not that great, but like, I know what I'm dealing with. And to go into this other thing where I don't know what I'm dealing with, like, what if it ends up being worse than the situation I'm in right now? So I'll just stay here. We also have fear of success. And fear of success is this very, very interesting thing. I was in a room of entrepreneurs a number of years ago now, and probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm in this room, very, very successful online entrepreneurs. So podcasters and people who have online businesses, and they're all like making like millions of dollars a year. I was very not qualified to be in the room, on paper at least. Like, their banking, their profit and losses were looking quite different than my own. But what was so interesting is that none of them had fear of failure. So we had this therapist who works specifically with financial stuff come in and do a session with us that day. And I got to be in this room like totally by chance, because a friend of a friend was there. And like, we happened to be together for this day doing something else. And then he was like, oh, just come with me to this thing. It's fine. You can just come as my guest. It was super, super cool. So I got to see all these people who I'd admired online for a really long time get really, really vulnerable. So this therapist who was leading this session talked about fear of failure and then was like, okay, so here, who here is afraid of failure? And no one raised their hand. And a lot of them even said like, not really, like, I've failed a decent amount before, so it doesn't really freak me out anymore. And then she asked, well, who here is afraid of success? And that was where they got really uncomfortable. And first of all, they were already so wildly successful in my eyes that this was like shocking to me. And then a number of them got really emotional, and they said they're afraid of success because they don't feel like they deserve it. They feel like maybe they just got lucky. They feel like it was a fluke and they don't know if they can replicate it the next time they try to go do something new. They feel like other people are going to judge their success, and like, they have imposter syndrome around their success, that like, people are going to think, oh, like, they're not really that smart. Like, they look like they're successful, but they're not, like, they're just a normal human being, because they all were just normal human beings. So they had this fear of success that was super interesting to hear them talk about. Sometimes we don't say yes to things because we think, well, shoot, if that thing works out, like, what does that mean? And how will that change my life? And that seems very big and overwhelming. And like, I wouldn't know what to do with that scenario. So I'm just going to stay here, because again, the known is better. Getting too big or too successful, or like having to manage things on a bigger scale, just seems completely overwhelming or daunting, or, you know, really vulnerable even, which is another part of that holds us back from saying yes, is that feeling of vulnerability. Feeling like if we say yes to something, that we have to be vulnerable in terms of maybe not being super successful in the moment, not being, you know, not being good at something right away, not being able to immediately prove ourselves or produce all the things in the right ways. And so that level of vulnerability can hold us back and make us just say, no, like, it's not for me, I'm not ready yet. And then the other component around our emotions and our feelings is worry. Worry about other people's opinions specifically. So worry about OPO, worrying about other people's opinions, worrying that someone might say, who does she think she is going for that? Who does she think she is? Like, she doesn't know how to do that. I've had this a lot over the years because I've done so many things that are non-traditional with my career. And as I've done these things, I have had a lot of judgment from friends, from family members, from people who just don't understand what I do at all. Definitely from men who are like, oh, that's cute. She's doing like, she has a mom blog. And I have to explain that a podcast is not a blog, which I've explained 1 million times to 1 million dudes. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explained. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder, so if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. So it's so interesting that our worry about other people's opinions can be the emotion or the feeling that holds us back from going after the thing. Because we think, oh, someone else won't get it, or someone else might be uncomfortable with my success. This holds us back too. We worry that someone else, maybe our close friend or a family member or a coworker, they might feel uncomfortable if I get the thing that maybe they've wanted, or if I'm more successful than them, or if another thing works out in my favor while they're struggling. So these can hold us back. The other thing that can hold us back from saying yes to things is resources. And so when you look at your resources, this is where I find I get the most tripped up, because I'm pretty good at managing thoughts and emotions and feelings around change and going after things, because I've worked on it a lot over the years, and being an entrepreneur for 20 years and building, you know, 4 businesses now has required that. But here's where I get really tripped up: resources. So there are a number of resources that are finite for everyone. So the two that are finite for everyone are time and energy. Like, every day we have a finite amount of time and a finite amount of energy. Now, we can optimize those things for sure. How can I, you know, make the best use of my time? There's always ways to do that. How can I ensure that I have the best energy or optimal energy for the day? There's, of course, ways to go about that as well. The other resource is money. And this is where we often get in our way as well. And while money is infinite in a lot of ways, our day-to-day relationship with money can be very finite. And so when we're looking at, and I'll use myself as an example, when I'm looking at going back to grad school and I'm thinking through, okay, like, is this the right time and should I be doing this? You better believe I was looking at time, energy, and money in a big way. Like, how is this going to fit with the time I'm already spending on other things and also my family? How is this going to work in terms of energy? Like, I put a lot of energy into my work already, and this is going to be like, what, doubling down on that to also go back to school and have, you know, hours and hours a week of schoolwork. And then money. My husband hasn't had a job since June. He's 10 months into a layoff. And I'm like, oh, sure, let's go back to grad school. Like, it is not cheap. And so looking at these resources, I had to really, really think about, is this the right yes for me right now? Which obviously I decided it was, because here I am. I'm in my first week of grad school as I'm recording this. But we have to look at the things that are stopping us from saying yes and understand why they're stopping us from saying yes, so that we can then determine, how am I holding myself back here? What are the costs of not saying yes to this thing? Now, there's all sorts of reasons that at different times it's not appropriate to say yes. We don't have the time. We don't have the energy. We don't want to take energy and resources from one thing and put them in another. We want to spend more time with our kids right now, so we don't want to go after this other thing. We want to we're coming into summer months. Like, we want to spend more family time in the summer, or we want to just like have more downtime in the summer, so we're not going to take on X, Y, and Z. All of that is totally fine. But when we look at not saying yes to opportunities that could help us grow in various ways, when we look at not saying yes to professional aspirations because we're nervous that we might fumble publicly, or we're nervous that we don't have quite the right qualifications to go after the thing, what are the losses and the costs of that on the back end in terms of our professional achievements, in terms of our own self-concept, in terms of the way that we give ourselves permission to grow, and then what we do with that growth? Those costs can be monstrous and huge and hold us back in so many ways. So I want you to think about, what are the things that you've been thinking about in recent months, or this year, or maybe for 2024, where you have been like looking for a yes, but haven't given yourself permission to step into the yes? And look at what is stopping you from saying yes. And what are the costs of not saying yes right now? Because when we can be really honest with ourselves about the cost of waiting to say yes, or the cost of thinking that we need to create better conditions in which we would say yes, sometimes we can start to see that waiting two more years doesn't make it better. Getting these other like ducks in a row is never going to happen. There's a million reasons I could have waited to go back to school, but none of them were going to make it better to go back to school in a couple of years. And you could even say like, well, wait at least till your husband gets a job. Yeah, maybe. But like right now, he has more schedule flexibility than anyone else in my house. So that kind of works in my favor for right now. Of course, there's financial strain around it because I'm picking this time. But there's other things that are working well because I'm picking this time. So I want you to think about what's stopping you from saying yes. And then what is that costing you? And what could the potential outcomes be if you stepped into that yes? Give yourself permission to think about what those outcomes could be and what that would mean for your life long term. Give yourself permission to journal on this a bit, write down some notes, because you'll probably find that the potential wins outweigh the potential costs if there's something that you really want to go after. If there is something you really want to go after, I would love to know what it is. It's been really fun as I've made this decision to go back to school. People have been sharing me different things that they have been going after and saying yes to. And it's been really, really cool to hear things that you're up to and ambitions that you're up to, whether they're personal or professional ambitions. It's been really, really amazing. And I just continue to be so grateful that we get to be in this space together where we're challenging each other to say yes to different things in order to grow, in terms of growing as a woman and as a leader and as a mom and as someone who wants to make change in the world and amplify their voice in the world and leave a long-lasting legacy. Getting to do that with all of you is such a huge honor. So as you consider how you're holding yourself back by when you stop yourself from saying yes, know that you're not in this alone. We all go through this all the time. And I, of course, I'm in this with you always as you navigate these decisions. And I love being in this with you always. So thank you for being here, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts. where you can click on the subscribe button and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.